Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Developing Your A Game. And today I'm really pleased to have on, it's sort of like a sister-sister connection going on here. I'm really pleased to have on Crystal McGivory. I will just say that her sister and I also had a podcast session that you would have heard on the last episode. So it's so amazing to have her sister now come on for another fantastic episode. So welcome to the show, Crystal. We're really happy to have you on. Now, just a little bit about Crystal. So Crystal is a money intelligence expert. She helps people realize and actualize their financial investment goals and objectives. She's open to working with women and men, so she's not particularly pro one gender, but she's definitely pro helping people realize their financial objectives. And what's even more exciting is she's just co-founded an amazing new initiative called Moneytelligence UK. And I'm really excited because I really want to know all about what this initiative is about. Like, I feel like my investment objectives could be a lot better. I'm always trying to, you know, get more financial literacy, boost my financial literacy, boost my knowledge. So it's fantastic that you are advocating, financial literacy at any age. So I'm really happy to have you, Crystal. So yes, tell us more about what you are doing, what you've been up to, and definitely more on Moneytelligence UK. Tell us more about it.
Yes, hello, hello, and thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. Seriously.
Oh.
I haven't listened to the one you did last week with Sis, but I will do. I've been swamped, of course, busying myself with not only Moneytelligence, but a bunch of other things that are really exciting.
Good.
And yes, just one thing I must clarify, I'm not a financial advisor, so I don't help people with investments as such.
Okay.
You'd have to be a qualified advisor to do
yes,
that.
Yes, of course.
Yes. I'm a chartered accountant, and my area is more personal finance and small business. My heart is drawing towards, you know, getting people out of difficult situations.
Mm.
Yes, which is where it started, and I'll tell you a bit about that. But also helping people get started with the business. You know, I know there's lots you can do by, you know, creating your own business, building it, and we know that businesses fail mainly due to cash flow issues.
Especially now,
and obviously because we're not taught about this at any point during our educational system, you know, people who want to start a business don't know what they're doing. So those are my key areas.
Good. I'm glad you clarified that. Good.
That's
good.
Okay.
So let's get started. Like, how did you're a chartered accountant, which is, I mean, that is not an easy course to undertake. So kudos to you. Kudos to all chartered accountants. It's a very, very important role. You help, you're like one of the, your profession is the bedrock of, you know, society, the economy. You support us with the numbers, you support small businesses, you help us get our numbers right. Without the accountants, then, you know, businesses simply wouldn't know what they're doing. They wouldn't know how to balance their books. They wouldn't know all these basic things about profits and loss, bookkeeping. These are really important things that small businesses need to know. I have a small business as well. So, and I'm a lawyer, and I can tell you lawyers are terrible with numbers. Well, I am. So it's great that there's people like you kind of simplifying, you know, breaking down the big numbers and things like that. So how do you do that? How do you help businesses? How do you do that?
Well, it's funny. I'll just tell you a bit about how I got into this. So I actually studied maths at university, and I had no intention of being an accountant at all. I was adamant that my entire three-year degree, I'm not going to be an accountant. They're boring. Oh, no way. but unfortunately, coming from a family that, you know, I was one of the first to go to university, I didn't have that guidance as to what to do. So I fell into accountancy because I thought, if you've got a maths degree, that's what you must do, right?
That's incredible. Oh, a maths degree. I think you're the first person I know that studied
No
maths.
way. Really?
Incredible. Yes. It's a topic that we all shy from, and I'm going to get your viewpoints on that in a bit.
Yeah,
How do we
of
get more
course.
women, more girls into maths
I
and
know.
science?
I know it's
Wow.
such a thing, and I don't even know. I think when I was at school, I remember being in, and this is really off topic, but I remember being in year 9, so I was 14, and there was one particular math teacher, a lady, and I just loved her messiness. She was very scruffy, but very, it didn't matter. She just, all she cared about was the numbers, and she allowed me to get excited about them, and there was no reason to be embarrassed. It was like she did, and she just encouraged me. So from 14, I loved maths.
Oh.
But actually, I wanted to do acting. Just to
Oh, nice. That's wow.
yeah, I followed,
Pulls apart.
yeah, I followed mum's advice and did, a sciencey type thing. And yeah, so I fell into accountancy, and I was working in, I worked in the creative industry for 10 years, so PR, marketing, advertising, that kind of thing,
Oh,
which
wow.
I guess is why I stuck at it, because you can kind of be yourself. There was one company in particular that was PR. And as you can imagine, everybody wore short skirts and high heels, and it
Yeah.
was, and I
Yeah.
did too. It was fun, basically. But then what happened is, as I was, so I'm quite competitive and aggressive when it comes to achieving things. So
Yes.
as I continued to kind of, climb my, I was studying at the same time, and I was doing that, and I was also teaching maths privately because I was saving to buy my first property. So I was on like a salary of 25, 23K, working, doing tuition, studying. So I was doing quite a lot. My full day,
Quite a lot.
ended at 1 a.m. when I'd finished studying, and that's off.
1 a.m.
So I'd
Man.
work, I'd come, go and teach. I'd take a bus to go and teach a student. Then I'd come back home and study until midnight, 1 o'clock. And I did that every day.
Amazing.
Just because, like I said, I'm competitive. I wanted to achieve things. But as I was doing that, obviously, I'm learning about finance. I'm getting really savvy. I'm hot on my numbers. I'm trying to save to buy my first flat. And I can see people around me struggling financially, and not wanting to expose, anyone too much. But, people really close to me started, borrowing money from me and not pay it back when they said they would. And family, and it's close. It can cause tension.
Of course, of course.
So it did. And I remember getting to a particular point where I actually got quite angry. And I, of course, because it's like, this is when I'd bought the flat now, and they'd borrow, say, I think 7,000 from me. And, I gave that expecting to get it back a couple months later, and I didn't. And I'm like, I've just bought a flat. So basically, at that point, I stopped. I paused, and I was like, what's going on here?
This keeps happening.
Happening. This person, it's a woman, where it started, and my passion starts with women. She's an intelligent individual, ridiculously, and business savvy. So what's going on here? And I literally dived into researching financial literacy. And I've got so many articles and reports and studies and surveys, so much literature. And it's a worldwide issue. It's not just the UK.
It's everywhere, Crystal, really.
it's a
It's
thing. Yeah. Affecting black people and more women, more
Women warm.
so that's instantly my passion grew. I was like, I need to tackle this. This is what I'm supposed to do, not drama, not maths. This is it.
Wow.
And that was about 5 years ago. So I realized that, and I was like, okay, so do it. And as I'm sure you've covered, fears get in the way.
Yes, oh yes, I can imagine.
Yeah, so from being someone who sat behind an Excel spreadsheet most of the time, and now I want to go out and help people. So I didn't do it. I went traveling for 1.5 years, and I did a bunch of other things. And recently, I'm like, no, time to go. So yeah, I'm now throwing myself into it. I do coaching. I'm currently building a number of courses, online courses.
That is the way forward, I tell you. Online courses is just democratization, I call it, of knowledge. When people can access knowledge on demand, educate themselves. Well done, Crystal. That's really good. That's a good one.
And you can make it so much more affordable,
Yes.
doing it online. And most people have access to the computer, and there's lots of people that don't. So the people that don't, and or you know, don't have as much resources. For example, another thing I'm doing, I've got a business partner, we're working together to deliver something for housing association tenants.
Okay.
So we're working with the housing association, and we're, you know, that's to get them up to speed finance and, you know, financially and knowledgeable, because in when you're in housing association, and lots of people live in that circumstance, don't know much about financial literacy, struggle to pay.
Not at all, yeah.
Right. So that's another target. And I'm just trying to get it out there as much as possible, just try to help, really.
So tell me, how does Moneytelligence work? Moneytelligence UK is your latest creation.
My latest, one of the latest, yes. 2020,
congratulations,
yes.
Well done. So this is a UK-based company initiative, right?
It is for now, yeah. I think we're dropping the UK. It is for now. We're here, so me and my business partner, Peter, we found each other recently, and we realized really quickly that we're both, he's an investment banker, so he's the investment side, so he will be able to help you with that. Nice. He's got the same drive and passion as me to spread this knowledge to the masses, so we're using this platform, Moneytelligence, to partner with other corporates, organizations like banks and insurance companies, etc., and professionals like ourselves, to basically create events, workshops, etc., to educate people. We're kind of focusing on, often when we talk about banks or all these big organizations, people are quite intimidated because they're quite big, scary, serious, you know, organizations with rules and regulations, and
yes,
you know, you don't understand the jargon, and it can be quite overwhelming. So we want to create events and so forth where we're removing that barrier, we're making it more accessible, you know, make it in a fun event even, and really open, have a chat, learn about this. There'll be workshops, you know, lectures, where just teaching basically. So our first one, because of the current physical restrictions, will be online. And
good.
The 15th and 16th of August. So it's an online digital conference. We've got 10 different talks.
Oh, good.
10 over 2 days. Yep. Yeah. I just clocked up the hours. I think it's 21 hours of content.
Wow. Nice.
And we are talking about things such as tackling debt, how to get started in business, how to start investing in a property via buy-to-let. Understanding cryptocurrency, which I would love to learn about.
Yes, cryptocurrency. I can't get my head around it. Bitcoin, yeah. All yeah. These things. Exactly. Just, yes, these are things I need to really learn about as well.
Yeah, we've got an amazing American, actually, an American guy's on this. He's an expert. That's his thing. That's the company he works for. It's all about cryptocurrency. So he's going to know his stuff. We've got a really special guest for the startup business. We're waiting for confirmation. I mean, he said yes.
Of course.
He said yes, but we've just sent across the speaker agreements and stuff today. So Wednesday's the deadline. So, you know, yeah, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's going to be amazing. I think so. The particular of this event, initially, it's to teach people about financial literacy. So, you know, the 10 topics, you can choose either Saturday or Sunday or both. And at the end of the day, we have a round table where all the speakers come together. And you know, it's a big Q&A. Everyone's talking about that particular, you know, pillar almost, whether it's personal finance or investing, which is a Sunday. And then, yeah, no, it's going to be great. There was something else I was going to mention on that actually. Oh yes, also we are donating profits to charity. That's very important.
Very important.
Yes, charity. Charities have identified two that support African and Caribbean children.
Oh, nice.
We're trying to raise £10,000. And then we will also offer a finance education day to the parents of those children after. Us who organise the event. So that's what Moneytelligence is about for now.
It sounds good. It sounds really good, Crystal. You're going to get a chance to share all your contact details, because that's why I'm doing this podcast. It's about sharing knowledge and, you know, just broadening broadening horizons and things like that. Now, one thing I really want to get into with you is, you know, why are we in general, we being, I would say, your typical middle class, working class person, you know, you're making ends meet every day, you're paying all these bills. Why is it so difficult sometimes to cross, financial, economic brackets? Why does the struggle to actually thrive and do well financially seem harder now compared to, say, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Why is just trying to get a property harder? I mean, there's mortgages everywhere. You know, is it almost like the way things are structured, it just makes it that bit more difficult? Like you said, financial literacy, for whatever reason, is not taught. It should be taught, but it's not taught in schools. It's not taught at university. So why is that, the reason why we just are not getting it right?
Do you know what I think? I think it's, if we think about what's happened in society and the world and how money works and products and financial products, back in the day when money started, it was a piece of paper that said IOU. That's how money started, right? And you'd exchange it to the person, to your neighbor, to the person in your village or whatever, or you'd use coins, the shells, I think it is, and you'd exchange that, and that meant, you know, you've exchanged. That's the IOU. As time's gone by, we've had ridiculous growth in technology, in products, in financial products, and they've got more and more complicated. But what hasn't happened is the educational piece in line with that to teach people how to use it. So these big organizations have gone and created, you know, interest bearing, you know, products and all these things that have exponentially got more complicated. And I say more complicated because they haven't educated the people that will be using those products as to how to use them. So, yeah. And as that's only continuing, because you've got, like we're talking about, you've got Bitcoin, you've got all these amazing banks, which some of them are doing great things. You know, I just recently discovered, is it a bank? It's not a bank, but basically it's a company that's set up to allow you to increase your credit score by saving with them. So you're saving money with them every month, and that saving payment goes towards building your credit score. It's amazing. And you know, it can be confusing at first. I had to check it out a couple of times and be like, oh, this is what they're doing, that's great. It sounds, you know, I've even thought about it before, but it exists now. And what I'm saying is, people don't know how this works, so people are using these products because they're told they have to. You have to get a mortgage, or you know, you're offered a credit card when you're at university and you don't even know what a credit card is. And people are using them but don't know how to use them. So you're spending on a credit card and not realizing that you really shouldn't be going into interest. Clear your credit card every month. Only spend what you can afford. But people would, you know, buy a really expensive car or something and be paying it off for years and years and years and getting into debt. I mean, I'll give you a personal example. I went to university, and back when I went to university, I didn't pay. My degree was free, but because, like I said, I was one of the first to go to university in my family, we didn't understand the finances, and I still took out a loan and a grant, fine, but I took out a loan, and I thought the loan I was taking out was paying for my degree, but it wasn't. It was just for me to gallivant. And I went to university down the road from my home. I stayed at my parents. So I took out all these thousands of pounds, bought myself a car, went to Miami, lived life. And I only, you know, it took me years to pay it off, of course. But only years later did I realize that, Crystal, you didn't pay for your degree. But I didn't know that.
Didn't know that.
So that shows you that people aren't educated on these products. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think people are getting, you know, into really sticky situations and don't know how to get out of them. That's where I think the financial education is really important, and it can start with really basic stuff, you know, basic math, basic, you know, understanding of how things work and what a bank is, and
this culture of saving. Like, even when I think back to when I just graduated, I don't remember anyone telling me, oh, you know, now you're working, you know, you need to start saving. I don't remember anyone. I don't even remember my bank. Like, I think somehow these somehow they know when your life changes. They know when different life significant events. So they know when you've graduated because you stop getting your student card. Yep. You graduate to, they notice your salary's coming in. Yep. But nowhere does it say, you need to start saving 10%, 15%. So you're just spending without you're just spending. You realize it's not
in their interest to tell you, is it? It's their interest to borrow and make money. And it's weird because you think that the bank who hold the money and kind of control the money, you'd think they would be the people that would tell you how to make the most from your money, but no, that's not in their interest. It has to be another body that takes that responsibility on, and that's where we get stuck. But it's purely the financial piece, and I'm seeing more, and I think it's absolutely amazing. I know some young people doing some great things with teenagers, and educating them and seeing how engaged they are and how much they're learning. It's wonderful. I know someone who's 20, and she just bought her first home. It's absolutely amazing. So it's changing ever so slowly. I think it is.
So what would you advise to listeners now? Say, I mean, I get listeners across quite varied. The age bracket of my listeners is actually quite varied from the 20-something-year-olds all the way to the 60-pluses, which is fantastic. So what would you say to say a parent whose child is starting university? What would you also say to a newly graduated, this year we're still going to get new graduates coming out? What would you say to them about money? What should a graduate be thinking of when they come out of university? And what should a new uni student be thinking of when they start uni? Because people will be starting uni this year. People will be starting new jobs this year, as tough as things are. What would you say to people like them?
I think if I compare to myself at that same age, and like what you were just saying, when you were younger, no one told you to save. No one told you about the world of money. I didn't know there was even a world of money, so to speak. I didn't know it was a thing. I didn't know it's something that you should pay attention to and look to build wealth. I didn't know that was a thing. So I think to anyone starting uni, finishing uni, I'd say realize that you have to make money. It's not just a matter of getting a job and it's going to pay me a salary and I'm going to live. You have to think about building wealth. So once you finish working, because you're not going to work until you die, once you finish working, you need to have money to live off of. And there's various ways you can do that. And again, this goes into the investment side, but whether it's a pension, whether it's, stocks and shares, or whether it's property or business, there's all sorts of things you can do to build wealth. But you need to start somewhere. And I think for me, like you just said, start saving. Even if it's a small amount of money, start saving. Because what you want to do is build a habit. You want to build a new habit that putting money aside every month is normal. Even if it's a small amount of money, because as well, with that small amount of money that you're saving every month, it builds, it compounds, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, like a snowball. I didn't do that at all. That was not even
me neither, Crystal. Me neither.
It wasn't a thing. It was nowhere near a thing. The only time I started thinking about it was when I was like, I need to move out of my house because I can't live here, and let me go and rent. And then I stopped and was like, no, let's buy. But that's like 15 years too late. I should have done that ages ago. So I think it's first ages I think ago. The main thing for me is about knowing or being aware that you need to build wealth, and how do you want to do that. And if you don't have a solid plan, because you might not, at 18 you might not have a solid plan, things change over time, but start putting money aside and start by putting it aside as soon as you get it. I talk to lots of people that cry about, I get paid, I pay my bills, I pay for food, then I have nothing left. And that's because you've done it the wrong way around. You need to have a budget, know exactly how much expenses are, and know how much you can save every month, and save that as soon as you're paid. So then there's no room for you to overpay, because you put it away. And that's where, I don't know if you've heard the term pay yourself first, but that's where it comes from. Basically, you're investing in yourself.
Never heard of that term. Pay yourself first.
Yeah. I remember when I first heard it, I was like, what do you mean? But it means you're investing in yourself. So put it into a savings account and an emergency fund. Invest it.
That makes sense. But you know something? Crystal, is there a sort of warped mentality around, okay, so pay yourself first, exactly as it sounds. You need to put money aside for yourself into some sort of nest egg. But then what would you say about the majority of us, myself included, who would think, oh, okay, salaries come in. I'm going to treat myself to, I'm going to get this new hairstyle done. Oh, I've been eyeing that outfit. Oh, I'm going to get that outfit. Or, you know, in these parts in Nigeria, there's this running joke. I think it's a little sexist, but people tend to say, oh, women, all they do is spend money on hair, like artificial hair and bags. And, you know, I don't really like that statement, but in a way, it's kind of true. Yes, we do. I mean, we're women. Yeah. We like our nice things. So would you not call that paying yourself first? Because that's sort of a luxury treat. So is that, would you declassify that and say, nope,
absolutely.
That's not paying yourself
absolutely.
First?
Absolutely. That's an expense. That's a luxury. That's a treat. That's like coming out of your pot of money for fun things to do. That comes out of your expenses that you've allocated after you've paid yourself first. So paying yourself first is investing in your future. It's investing in your wealth. Gotcha. So buying hair or buying those shoes is not investing in your future. I mean, unless you could, and I've seen this. Oh. I've seen this debate.
Shaking tables today.
I've seen this. You know, I've seen these posts and stuff talking about, you know, a handbag, and unless it's a designer handbag, it's going to appreciate, or you know, a Rolex or whatever. And even that, you know, you've got to know what you're doing. You know, it's an investment sometimes. Yeah, sure, but we're talking about investing in yourself financially to build wealth. So,
okay, can you give us examples?
How to invest
Crystal,
in yourself?
Just to make it practical. How would one who's new, totally green to investing, what would you say, okay, this is a person earning, I don't know, £30,000. I don't know what the equivalent is in naira. My math is terrible, but it's about 400. It's about 450 naira now to a pound. So earning £40,000 a year to 400,000. I don't know, that 1.6 or something million or something a year. So what would you say?
Things. I don't know how it works in Nigeria, but over here, for example, you've got pension. So the pension, and over here it's automatic unless you opt out. And in lots of companies, your employer will match you. So if you pay more, they'll pay more. Which, and you know, there's tax incentives in that. You know, the government gives you extra money. It's a really a great win-win situation to have your employer pay into your pension and pay more as you pay more, and you get tax money on top, government money on top. You could invest into index funds, for example. So slightly investing talk, index funds. And I say that because you can set up, there's so many digital platforms. Again, we're going into products which people might not know about. And this is where the education really frustrates me, the lack of. There are so many platforms available where you can pay money in monthly. You know, you can pay £20 a month, £50 a month, £100 a month. Invest into stocks and shares, you know, that have, you know, a lot of them have a rough return of 10% per year, which is good. Or, you know, taking it back a step. If someone doesn't have a pot of money for themselves, just in case, you know, the washing machine breaks down, or you have a car accident and it's your fault, or, you know, things happen, you know, first build up your own emergency fund, have your own little pot of money that you have there just in case. Because if you don't have that, then what you have to do is then borrow in a, you know, desperation at a high interest rate. So it all links up.
It does. Crystal, over here, because we have things like that, pensions, but unfortunately, that's only, it's only, I would say, a small proportion. So unless you're working for, you know, a large organization in Nigeria, the banks tend to be one of the largest employers. So unless you're working for, you know, a bank or maybe a very good law firm or a good... Basically, if you're in professional services, you're generally okay. But when you're self-employed here, it tends to get a little bit tricky. There are loads of plans that people can pick from, but then, you know, I don't really know whether it's widespread, you know, with regards to pensions. Like, do small do SMEs over here invest in pensions for their staff? They're supposed to, because here we also have a very strong regulate. We have very strong regulators. We've got Pension Commission here, and if you've got, and if you have more than five staff in your employ, you're supposed to set up pensions. Whether that's actually being done, who knows? Because I don't know how it's regulated. But the point I'm getting at is, here I've noticed a trend for what I call crowdfunding. How do you say crowdfunding? Is crowdfunding has become the solution to handling life's emergencies. When someone falls ill, sadly, like you say, cancer, you see a crowdfund set up. Somebody wants to go to study a master's abroad, which is very popular here. A crowdfund is set up. And it's scary that crowdfunding has become the alternative to saving.
Yeah. I mean, the other option I should have mentioned earlier is insurance. And I've got very close friend of mine whose father just passed, and they're from Ghana, and there was no insurance. So now they're having to be tasked with running around to find funding or money to pay for the funeral, and there's life insurance for that, you know, and critical illness insurance and employment insurance, and there's so many insurances you can take out. And I don't know if people realize, but the younger you are that you take things out, the cheaper they are every month.
I hope you're listening, listeners. The younger you are, the cheaper. So get into it.
So, you know, when a family member does pass away, you've got money to help fund that funeral and help you with, you know, your bills or things that you rely on that person's salary for, etc. So there are things that you can do, and the wealthy have been doing this for generations. They have been taking advantage.
The wealthy know what's up, Crystal. The wealthy are wealthy because they do these things.
You know, it's you're paying a small amount every month. You know, think about the cost of it is like 10, 20 quid or 30, 40 max, but you know, we're paying that out already on our hair. We're paying that. I had to put it in there. You put it up. You know, every month we're paying it's that true. Easily, so the cost of it is negligent. You know, so there are options. There's pension. There's investments. There's insurance, and they can all be started right now. So if you have any of those emergencies, you're sorted. But again, it's just down to education. It's just about sharing that knowledge, and you know, once one person knows, they spread the word, and that's why I'm really hot on teaching adults, because they have children, they have families that you know, they can pass it down. They bring that knowledge into the home, and that's now the norm. You know, family activities, get everybody involved. You know, get the kids to play around with, you know, having money for the week, and they've got to manage it, and just get them used to handling cash and being responsible, and the, you know, the whole delayed gratification and the prioritization of spend, all that should be in the psyche from early. But it involves effort.
Yes.
It involves effort from the parent, for example, but the parent needs to know first. So it goes back.
It does. I mean, even little things like pocket money, and then, you know, being, teaching your children to do little jobs around the house and get paid. I don't really know how much that's done. It's not something I've really discussed with even, say, my fellow mom friends and things like that. I don't know if, I know when we were younger, yes, I do remember it was more of a thing.
Yeah.
Getting pocket money, you know, you have X amount to spend for a month. But now, I don't know.
I don't think it's as common. No, I hear the odd person here mention it. And when I do, I'm really like, wow, that's amazing. But I don't think this is common. And I think that could be taken a bit further, you know. Get them to save a bit every month. And I think actually my sister does that, you know, get them to think about keeping some in their savings, not spending all the money you've made in your pocket money this week. But no, it's not as popular. I don't think so. But that makes sense. It does make sense.
It does. It does. It makes so much sense, because like you said, is the financial literacy, it starts from when they're young, and they develop those habits, and saving becomes just a regular thing. It becomes normal. It doesn't become like, oh, I have to save. Okay, let me quickly try and put loads of money aside quickly. It's just a normal thing that they grow up with.
And that's one thing I do say. You know? So when I, you know, when I start working with somebody new, or, you know, I'm just talking about finance generally, or I mention what I do, everyone's a bit like, oh, I don't like maths, I don't like numbers, or, you know, my finances are terrible. And I'm like, you know, it's not so much about the knowledge and the actual terms. It's all about behavior. It's all about
Oh, that's true. It's a behavior.
It's about control and discipline and prioritization. It's all about your habits and what you do. And that needs to be exercised and practiced. And at first it'll be a bit difficult, but eventually it's like normal. And all of a sudden you find that you've built up a savings pot because you've just got this new habit.
Spot on. Not spending everything at once, not spending right down to the last penny, last naira. You're, you know, setting aside, you're paying yourself first. And even with the rest, you know, you have your budget. You talked about budgets earlier, the importance of having a budget. Again, that's something I tried having a budget once, but I wasn't too successful. But COVID has made me a lot more conscious about my spending, and I'm hearing from people around me how wow, I've saved so much this COVID. I've saved so much, you know. I'm more aware of expenditure. Like now we're you know, working from home, I'm more aware of what we're spending on food. I can see there's a significant difference between what was spent on food pre-COVID and now. So you're right. It's behaviors. It's totally behaviors.
Another person I was working with, her and her husband have been wanting to buy a house together, and it's never been they've never seen it as a reality because they were like, well, we're in so much debt. Our credit's so bad. We buy takeaway about 6 times a week. But, you know, and a lot of the things they're saying is totally down to their actions. Like they're in full control, right? Full control. But I think it was, you know, been working with them, it's a combination of you can get out of bad credit. You can fix it yourself. There are things you can do right now to build your credit. You know, if you pay your bill on time, that will have a direct impact. And it's teaching that. Or, you know, if you find the excitement in cooking a special meal, you know, get creative with it. Cook for your husband, make a date night, or, you know, whatever. There are things you can do, but you know, just changing those slight behavioural, slight habits, change them ever so slightly, and all of a sudden, we can buy a property next year. Of course we can. It's huge, absolutely huge. So it's all about behaviours. It's all about behaviours and forcing yourself into a new habit until it becomes normal and it's not even a bore anymore. It's not a difficult thing to do. It's normal. It's like you don't think about it. But that needs to be taught and exercised.
So now you talked about your online courses. So would those courses would be available? Anybody around the world could access those courses. Are they available now, or is it coming in August?
So the links and stuff I'll share with you. I'm doing one that's for calling it the future entrepreneur. So this is where I'm really excited about small business and getting people into business and just providing them with the tools, you know. So it's about making sure your finances are in good shape before you get started. And the things you need, like you said, profit and loss, cash flow forecast, you know, thinking about pricing, just being really clear on that. And then you can be really aggressive and you know, competitive and take all the money.
Exactly. It's this moment we're living in now. I think more and more people are open to starting a business. I think the realities we're living in now, we now know you can't really rely on one source of income, seven streams of income. So more people are open, but not just about, you know, dabbling. We don't want to encourage dabbling. We want, like you said, to encourage proper structured businesses,
sustainable,
you know, nurturing a small business, sustainable business that can grow. And, you know, who knows where it could grow to be honest. And that's, and then again, in the African British community back home over here, you know, I don't know if you're aware, but Nigeria is like, I think we've got the world's largest number of entrepreneurs or something. And women especially are like, we've got the largest proportion of female entrepreneurs in Africa. So life here. It's very much a way of life. More so because things can be a bit tough. So people, you know, they use it as a backup for, you know, the main income, to supplement the main income. But like you said, we can turn things around and make our side hustle the main hustle.
Seriously. I'm totally for that. And I think the only way to do that is to get started and get started right. Have the, you know, the right foundations, be really clear. And, you know, where you're maybe not clear, get that knowledge, seek it, reach out. Don't just shy away from it, because then it will crumble. You know, be brave enough to say, hey, I need some help here. And sometimes that means you have to pay for it. But this goes back to paying yourself first, and it's investment into your wealth. It, as long as that's what you're doing, then it makes sense. You know, and eventually down the road where you maybe want to get even bigger and get in wider investment, you know, funding from, you know, a bank or an investor, etc.
Seek
help. Don't just do things blindly and risk doing things wrong. Make sure you know what you're doing and go for it. Keeps popping up, you know, about having a mentor or a coach, and so many.
Mentors.
Of course, it makes sense. Why would you sit there with your own limited brain? Because your brain is limited. Like, I'm not even being rude. Like, for myself too, our brain is limited, of course. But you learn by hearing from others, by reading. So why not get somebody who's a few levels above you to guide you? So you can get to where they are. 100%. Take advantage.
100%. It's about learning, it's about mentoring, it's about being a mentee, being a mentor, whichever end of the scale you're on. Either way, you're learning. Mentors are still constantly learning. Mentors have mentors too.
My friend's a therapist, and it's like, yeah, of course, it's a cycle. And I think, you know, something else I picked up the other day, I learned this a few years ago, and I was like, that makes sense. You know, going to the right person for advice. You know, don't go to a banker for hairdressing advice, for example. Make sure you're going to the right person. Don't listen to your husband or your friend because they're your husband or your friend. Go to someone who is educated and knowledgeable in that particular thing. You know, so often in our community, when it comes to doing business, you have people around you that might talk negatively about what you're trying to do, but that's because that's not their area of expertise. And that makes sense, and that's okay.
Exactly.
But take it upon yourself to realize that, and just go to someone who knows about this stuff and get knowledge from them.
I'm glad you said that, because here there's a bit of a tendency to kind of, you might seek help from, say, your pastor, your priest. In fact, one time I went to, like, I think it was a fellowship, and the priest actually said, people should stop coming to me for financial advice. Don't ask me, please. Yeah. I am not a qualified advisor. And we all burst out laughing, because it's true. You tend to go to people around you out of respect, I suppose. But yes, we need to break that. We need to get people seeking professional advice, whether it's financial or legal.
You need to know what you want and go to that person who can give you exactly that specific thing. Not someone who's generally a nice person, who is helpful. Someone who knows about exactly that. You don't have to like them as a person. Yeah. You just have to trust their knowledge.
Exactly. Nice. Now, I want to know about your website. So your website is coming in August. Pretty exciting. So I think people from here will definitely be clicking to check it out, because we don't really have enough. I mean, we do, but they're not well publicized. And I think that's part of what we're trying to break. We're trying to really publicize those people who are in this industry, trying to help with financial knowledge, financial literacy. You have to kind of be everywhere, spreading that gospel of financial literacy. So, you know, I'm going to be helping you with that. You know, listeners, you need to get on to Moneytelligence UK. I mean, yes, it with different jurisdictions and all, but the principles will effectively be the same.
The reasons behind doing this stuff will be the same. Understanding the breaking down, you know, demystifying what's often confusing. So my personal website, I have one at the moment, but I'm It's Money Monday at the moment, but I will be changing it to my full name, crystalmcgilvery.com. So at the moment it's moneymonday.co.uk, but in about a week it will be crystalmcgilvery.com.
.com. Nice. And that's where we can
about me and my courses
about
but Moneytelligence, moneytelligence.com. The same should be live in about a week. But I guess by the time this is up, it will be
excellent. How exciting. Exciting. And then your webinar next month, there'll be details about the webinar as well. If people want to sign up for it, then they can, and things like that. And hopefully, you know, maybe you could even do some webinars for, you know, the Nigerian market specifically. Who knows? Who knows? That would be great. That would be really nice.
As far as I can reach.
Yes. 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 It's all about sharing knowledge and being the best and trying to, you know, be your best self, really.
Don't make yourself small.
We can only try. That's it. Don't shrink yourself. Don't shrink yourself for the sake of other people. Don't shrink yourself. Don't diminish your light. I love that. That's such a lovely place to end it, Crystal. Thank you.
It did.
It went so fast, but you know, I feel like I learned a bit more, and it's made me more conscious about, you know, my choices that I make every day. You know, the choices I make about how I spend my money. They're still my choices, and I have to take ownership. So I hope the listeners feel like they've taken something away that will help them make better choices about
and
how
they
spend
it.
Their
Everyone
money.
Everyone can do it. As much as you think you're in a bad place right now, trust me, you can come out of it.
We can come out of it. I like that. That's a very encouraging place to leave this conversation. Thank you so much, Crystal. It's been really
nice having you on.
It's been really nice. And welcome. So my listeners, you've just been listening to Crystal and I talking about financial literacy, Moneytelligence UK, and her exciting courses coming up in August and the webinar. So thank you so much for tuning in to an episode of Developing Your A Game. Take care.